Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
Are you satisfied with your ability to talk to women you don't even know? Ever notice how some guys just seem to be magnets for women? And have you ever wished you could be that guy, effortlessly attracting amazing women into your life? Well, listen as we sit down with Brian Baer, co-creator and facilitator of the Authentic Man Program. He tells us what we need to do to become a magnet for amazing women while giving us a look inside the Authentic Man Program. Welcome to the show. Casey and I are in the studio today with Brian Baer. He's the founder and creator of the Authentic Man Program here in San Francisco. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
You're one of my favorite people after like all the other people here at the Authentic Man Program and the women and everything. I'm finally, you know, you kind of bring up the rear.
I've come around.
You're coming around. So we've been talking to a lot of people from the Authentic Man Program, but I'm really glad to have you on the show because we get to find out where it all, how it all came to be. Why is there an Authentic Man Program and what was your experience that led you to this place?
Yeah, it's kind of a humbling story, actually.
Humble away.
All right, let the humbling begin. Well, the beginning of AMP, or the Authentic Man Program, began, I'll have to backtrack a couple years before that, to the point where I did all right in college. You know, I had girlfriends and thought I was actually doing pretty well with women. I lived in Boulder. I had an awesome life. And, you know, I would ride my bike into work and snowboard on the weekends and go fly fishing right in the middle of town. So it was just this sweet, cushy, you know how it is in Boulder, yeah. Right? And I had a girlfriend and everything, but everything was just so cozy, so easy. And Decker and I, we met through a college buddy.
Decker's one of the other teachers, facilitators.
Decker is actually the other co-founder of AMP. I came up with the idea, but it really wouldn't have happened without him on board. But basically, when I started hanging out with him, I realized I didn't know anything about relating with women. Like, I just was, like, he had skills or something that I realized I wanted and that my ego was creating a lot of pain for me that I didn't have that.
Okay.
In other words, like, I just didn't.
You were doing fine until you met Decker, isn't it?
Yeah, I was doing fine until I met Decker. And then I'm like, I want what he's got. Like, I just watch things that he would do or what would happen with him. And it was like a vortex. And I was like, what did you do? What did you say to her? How did you do that? And he'd never start. This is way before the game or any of that pickup stuff. Like, he was what they would call like a natural. Mm-hmm. But I became pretty focused on, you know, it became increasingly painful as I hung out with him going like, how did you do that? I want that.
And what kind of stuff was he doing?
It would just be like natural things that aren't all that weird, but they were out of my realm of possibility. Like, he would go up and walk up to a table of women and within a couple of seconds having them all laughing and wanting him to sit down with them, and then spend the whole rest of the weekend when we went all went on a trip together with them. And I just was like, I saw how quickly it happened, and I was just, I knew that I was terrified to do that, and I didn't know how, and I didn't know what to say or any of that kind of stuff. And for me, I'm used to getting what I want. I'm used to being, I'm a smart guy. Mm-hmm. I'm a smart, capable person. Mm-hmm. How can he have that and I don't? Mm. And over time, I would interrogate him afterwards, be like, great, I'll just figure out what he said, and then I'll model that, and I'll write it down on the
palm of my hand.
Yeah. Okay. I'll figure it out, and then I can replicate it. And it just didn't work, because he said the most stupid stuff. Like, he'd say things like, I like your face. That would be his opener. I'd be like, that is the stupidest, dumbest line I've ever heard. And he's like, I was scared when it came out of my mouth, but then she just lit up and smiled. I'm like, that's not going to work for me.
Did you go throw that one out there?
No, I saved myself some embarrassment and rejection. So I knew that it wasn't his words. So I was like, I'm going to get down to what the fuck is this he's doing here. Mm-hmm. But I met with limited success. I studied all those books out there, and there wasn't as much material out there as there is now. But
specifically with how to deal with women.
How to relate with women, how to approach women, how to meet women.
Okay.
But also, yeah, he was having the kinds of stuff that most guys would dream of. Like, I don't know if...
Go right
normally,
ahead.
Normally they say the mainstream, you don't talk about threesomes and stuff, but that's...
We're here.
Like, that was it. Like, yeah. He wasn't asked, like, engineering it or anything. It just was, like, being created. Mm. And I... That wasn't really, like, a strong desire of mine, but it was, like, I want to at least have choice on that. Like, I at least want to have the option to have that.
Right. Not tonight, girls. Not tonight, girls.
And there are two of you here. We could just turn the mics off for a little bit. Nobody has to know.
It is Valentine's Day.
Did you bring me a card?
I'm feeling dreamy already. And I met with limited success in mm-hmm. this. I was like, I would go approach women at the BART station on my way into work, because that was the one place where I could rationalize, okay, they're waiting for a train. There's nowhere they can go, right? Like, I can't be like, oh, I'm bothering them. They're, you know, they're busy. They're sitting there staring at their newspaper waiting for a train. So I tried to confront all these approach anxiety fears and all that kind of stuff. But even then, when I did manage to meet a woman and she did happen to give me her number, and then she called me back, which were big ifs all the way up until then, mm-hmm. I would bring her home and we'd hang out at my house. And then when she met Decker, she'd fucking go with him and hang out with him. It was like, all right, that's enough. Like,
so don't live with Decker.
Don't live with Decker.
That's what you, okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we were living together at the time, and we were super best friends.
Right.
Like, he was like, if I could pass this on to you, I would. I don't know what I'm...
Thanks,
what
Brian.
Doing. Yeah. Yeah, right. It's like... I can just stay at home. You can bring home the girls. So then I was like, there was a particularly a woman who was just amazing. She was this ballet dancer with the San Francisco Ballet, totally spiritual, super sensitive, just really loving, open-hearted, amazing, gorgeous, tight little body, just delicious being. And Decker and I and she all became good friends, but she was spending most of her time with me, just how things worked out. So when she started sleeping with Decker, it was just like, that was the last straw. It was like, all right, I don't know what to do here. I'm at my wit's end. And I talked to her. I was like, okay. After I got over all my freak out about it, and just, there was a lot of pain and frustration about that, it got to a point where I was like, I asked her for feedback. I was like, what is it that has you just want to be friends with me? Like, she loved me. She's like, I love you. My just energy just isn't going that way. And I'm like, all right, but what is it that has the energy not go that way? And she said, it feels like there's something you want from me. Hmm. Feels like there's something, and I'm holding my hands out in like a push, hold away gesture right now, if you could see. And if she's like, I feel like I need to protect myself from you. And I was like, from what? And she's like, oh, yeah, there is actually something I need from you. I need you to want to fuck me. Uh-huh. I want you to want to find me sexually desirable. That's, I need that. I'm totally attached to you relating to me as a sexual being. And she's like, yeah, that's it. I feel like I'm just, and I realized like in that moment, wow, I'm relating to this person, not as a whole, this woman is not this other person with her own hopes and dreams and desires and experiences, but like as a means to an end for me to feel good about myself. Mm. And when I realized that, it was like, ugh,
yeah,
that feels like shit. That feels terrible, right?
Right.
And I was like, well, I don't want to come off that way. Ugh. You know, I don't, I could imagine, I just put myself in her position. And it's what we call taking second position in AMP. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that feedback changed my life.
Okay.
Because from that moment, I was like, all right, well, until I purge this neediness, I don't want to relate to any woman. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, that's not inspiring to me. And so Decker and I talked about that. And he's like, well, what if no woman ever found you sexually desirable ever again? And that just hit me deep. I was like, wow, could I really be in love with my life? Could I really enjoy my life being in a world where women never found me sexually attractive ever again? And it felt scary to think about that. It felt terrifying. And I was freaked out about it, but I was like, this is exactly the fire I need to go into. Like, this is exactly the needle I need to thread here. And so I stopped approaching women on the BART station, and I stopped doing all that stuff. And I focused on being in love with my life independently of whether any woman was attracted to me or not. And when I told people I was doing this, they would say, oh, no, I'm sure there's some girl out there who would find you attractive. Really? I'm sure there's someone out there. I was like, no, that's not the fucking point. The point is, I don't want to have to need it, right?
I've got a friend. She's blind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let me hook you up.
God. Okay.
So I sat in the fire of burning in the just being confronted with my own neediness for several months. I even went and did a 10-day meditation course and was silent, no eye contact. It's one of those Goenka Vipassana courses.
Right.
And on the other side of it, on the other side of those 2 months, you know how they say, like, once you're in the friends category, you're stuck there. Like, just forget about it. Just move on.
The friend zone.
The friend zone. Once you're in the friend zone, you never leave. But in this case, with this woman, suddenly she's like, wow, you feel different. And she was drawn to me. I could feel the polarity. I could feel the electricity of the attraction with us that had arisen all of a sudden. By then she was Decker's girlfriend. They'd moved in together, but we were kind of in a funky new age, or not new age, just like a alternative relationship place.
Post-conventional
relationship realm. So it was like, hey, we're exploring all this together. And so she allowed herself to feel whatever was arising with us. And there was definitely attraction there. And the great thing about it, I wasn't like, oh, yes, finally, after all these years, attraction with Nicole, you know? It was like, from that place, I was like, wow, this feels good. And I don't need it.
Mm.
I didn't need it. I had burned through that neediness.
And the really big thing is that you chose to go through this fire versus how do I act like I don't need, right?
Yeah.
That's a huge turning point.
Yeah. I mean, to try and posture and cover up, like, whatever, I don't care.
Right.
You know,
right.
So many guys do that. They're just compounding the problem. They're just repressing. Yeah. I had to sit in the pain and the frustration of that.
You had to go through it.
Okay. Yeah. It felt like I really had to go through it.
Okay, good.
And good clarification though, because I did go through that part. I was like, well, I just won't want it.
Yeah, I'm fine. I don't want that.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just repress.
Yeah.
Everything will be perfect.
That works. That works.
Yeah. It won't come out anywhere.
No one will ever fucking know. Yeah.
Just like as if we were to turn off these mics right now.
Yeah.
Just the three of us.
I think the show's over.
So anyway, can feel free to cut liberally.
Oh, no.
So anyway, on the other side of that, the great thing was also my relating with women after that point skyrocketed. Like, I had women calling me going like, hey, I want to spend time with you. You know, like, fun, gorgeous,
felt
like,
attractive. Good to be with you.
Yeah, it felt better to be with me. I get, that's the feedback I got. Mm-hmm. And the piece was, I didn't need it, but suddenly there was an abundance of women in my life. And all the places that weren't fitting for me suddenly started to drop into place. And things just became smoother. I became more relaxed and centered myself. And I realized I was flying back from Colorado, or from St. Louis, which is where I grew up, visiting my family. And I was like, just reflecting on my life and the journey I'd been on. And I was like, wow, I really have what I want in my relating with women. And I haven't for the last several years. Like, I'm actually at a place. And there's more to go. Like, I saw huge opportunities for development. In fact, more than I even saw beforehand.
It just continues to unfold.
Yeah, it's never ending.
And I want to be clear that you went through this process, and the only thing you really mentioned was that you did a Goenka course. I did a Goenka course too, but I didn't come out of it like with all these women flocking towards me necessarily. So,
yeah,
just like it's for each... Every guy's got his own path and figure that little period out. Okay.
Yeah. And I would say that the level of facility I had after that, I attracted a certain type of woman after that. Now that's totally worlds away from what's rising in my life right now.
Okay.
So it's all a gradient, and there's definitely an evolution.
Cool.
So, but this was just a particular breakthrough that happened for me and it didn't happen immediately. It was over time. It wasn't just the meditation. It was being willing, basically changing my orientation to facing the places that I didn't want to go, that I was ashamed of, that were uncomfortable for me, and just being like, all right, let's gun that one down. Let's take that on. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was not only was that feedback that she had given me in that moment, not only was it a gift for me, but it was a gift to the women in my life that I relate with now, because I wasn't so damn needy. Mm. And I was just more whole and complete in myself, in the world. So it was a gift to me. It was a gift to the women in my life. It was a gift to the world, because I was just a better man for it. And I realized, wow, like, I wish all guys could have access to this woman who is staying so heart connected to me. She's like, I love you. And I feel like you want something from me. And she could have even caved in and allowed it to happen, but that would have sold me out. But her willingness to hold her boundary and still love the hell out of me had a transformative effect on me. And I realized this was a gift I wanted to bring out to other men. This was just gold. That
right.
That women's gifts of being able to offer their heart is not really honored in this culture. It's just not paid for the way masculine presence is of cutting through obstacles and stuff. But this unconditional love that has me in tears.
Yeah.
Like, she had me in tears regularly. Like, she helped me get into my emotions and become aware of things I wasn't even aware of about myself. Like, she was that sensitive that she would feel things that I wasn't feeling. And that opened me up to whole new worlds about myself. And I realized this is a gift I wanted to bring to other men. And so in a flash, this whole idea of the Authentic Man program came up, where guys come in and they get honest, no holds barred, no bullshit feedback about how women are experiencing them. And it really just went, just completely unfolded from there. I shared the vision with Decker. He was like, wow, that's fucking cool. Let's do that. I hooked it up with my men's circle, and they all supported me in pulling together this as a project expressing my purpose in the world. Mm-hmm. And I basically hired Decker. I paid his rent so we could just lock ourselves in my room and just like hash through all this stuff. And we just were on our edge the whole time, because we're just still trying to fumble fuck our way through figuring this stuff out. And like, we're like 26 saying like, we know how to lead this course for guys. And really the only thing that I could come down to is like, what right do I have to lead a course on how to relate with women? Is because it was just that I'm willing to take a look at myself and not hide from any of those uncomfortable truths about myself. And that's what right I have to share this with other guys. Cause if they can fundamentally shift their orientation in that regard, it's going to blow open the doors in their relating with women.
So who are the guys that are signing up for the Authentic Man program? Is it just guys in their 20s that are from the pickup community? Who is showing up? Who's coming to this thing?
Yeah. I mean, we've had everyone from teenagers to guys to 78-year-old men.
You've had a 78-year-old guy?
Yeah. Yeah. If you go on our website, you can see he does a video testimonial. We have a video testimonial of him on YouTube, actually.
Wow.
So if you Google Authentic Man program on YouTube, you'll find it. But his name is Leo. This guy's a character, but he's 78, and he's He talks about, you know, for an old guy like me, you'd think you're kind of, it's done, but it's just the beginning, you know, it's just really inspiring.
And this is kind of every guy off the street kind of thing. I mean, who is it?
You know, it's funny because initially I was like, oh, I have the perfect market for this. I live right next to Silicon Valley where there's a bunch of geeky guys who have no skills in relating with women. And I'm in San Francisco surrounded by a bunch of transformational geeks who we just... like, we'll pick apart an interaction to its minutiae to like, wait, when you said that, I felt this, but was that what you felt too? You know, like, we just geek off on that all day. Like,
sounds fun.
Yeah. We don't do that as much anymore, but it was like our training ground, you know? Right. It's like, holy shit, I felt that too. Oh my God, you know? And like, we just sit around and geek on relating all day. And so we became really good at relating. And so I'm like, but none of us had any money. You know, we were like, we just sit around and relate all day. And these guys, so we've got a lot of social skills and no money. And these guys in the Silicon Valley have no money or all money and no social skills. And I was like, this is the match made in heaven. So I was in my tech job. So I would take the Caltrain down and I would interview guys on the Caltrain asking them about this. So be like, so what do you think of this website? And I was showing them the AMP website. He's like, oh, that sounds pretty cool, but I don't need it because I don't have any problems with relating with women. I'm like, oh, so you do pretty well with women in your life? He's like, yeah, I mean, two of my housemates are women. I'm like, dude, I'm not talking about like, do you get along? Like, can you like negotiate chores in your house with women?
It's you know? Your time to take out the trash.
He's like, see, I handled that just fine. No. And at that moment, I just kind of looked at him and a light bulb just flicked. And I was like, these guys aren't ready for this. Mm. Like they can't, he couldn't even hear me. It was like, hello, you're totally not willing to even confront your relating with women. And that's what I found that a lot of guys are at. Like, they're not at the point of their development to even be willing to be like, I want to get this part of my life handled.
Okay.
What we did find, so that kind of crashed and burned. That I was like, well, shoot, who are we going to? We're going to lead it to all our poor little transformational coursework junkies in the Bay Area. Who like, we're all like teaching coursework to each other. Like, you come take my course and I'll trade. And I'll take your course. And it's like, no, we'll just live on welfare. You know?
But be very good at relating and
totally.
Processing.
Yeah. And then what happened was we started leading AMP and we just did it locally. And all of a sudden, there are these guys who started coming through. And this was right about the time that book, The Game, came out. Mm. And these guys were pickup guys. These were guys who'd studied what they call outer game, which is, I think you had Garrison on. So he talked about his whole journeys of like through the outer game pickup seduction community that have bubbled up. And I had studied some of that and was like, yeah, that's Decker doesn't do any of that shit. I know there's a more authentic, direct way to do this stuff that I was more inspired by. I was like, that's just not my flavor. Although a lot of that stuff is fun and I have no problem with it, except I realized that so much of that stuff was to cover up ego, like validate my ego so I don't have to feel the underlying neediness in this hole. Yeah. I talk about like... these guys are just taking hits off the validation crack pipe all the time. Like they're taking little totes off it every time. That's what a lot of the pickup guys are doing, trying to fill a need inside. And I just realized what a bankrupt game that was. So anyway, they come into our courses because they know there's something going on.
How'd they find out about it? Like it just kind of showed up or did you guys reach out?
There's a big pickup artist community in San Francisco.
Okay.
So, and they're really nice guys. They're really good guys. They just want what I wanted too. Like, how the fuck do I go up and talk to that girl? Right. I don't, and not like I even need to have sex with her, but I want to have choice. I don't want to freak out every time I want to go talk to some girl who I've never met before.
Yeah.
And so the outer game stuff wasn't doing it for them. And they knew there was something deeper. And so they come here and the women would give them feedback on how they experienced them. And in that moment, it was like light bulbs went off. They got to see that they've like been inside of a matrix, like they'd been swimming in a certain perspective. Mm. And it's like AMP is like the red pill that they take. And suddenly like, oh, wow, I'm doing that thing again. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it all my life and I'm doing it right now.
Shit.
Shit. And after that point, once they see it, then they have choice. Mm-hmm. So they can like let go of these weird habitual patterns that have been running them all their life. And so a lot of times they just come out going like, wow, I just feel more peaceful in myself. And I don't even actually care whether women, like on one level, it might help our marketing. If it was like, I went out and now I can pick up any girl I want, but it just doesn't happen. They're kind of like, you know what? I actually don't care about pickup anymore. Like,
and that's that wholeness piece, right?
It's yeah. Because the need, that driving ego need, isn't there anymore. Because they can. It's seen through it. It's like it just popped the bubble on that addiction.
Wow.
They start coming in and they start telling their guys about it, and word spread through word of mouth. We hadn't really done any marketing, and it just, there's nowhere else you can get this stuff. So people have been coming to us.
Excellent, excellent. Let's talk a little bit about that experience, because I've actually heard some rumors of what's being told in the pickup community. Like, yeah, if you take AMP, you actually get less pussy. Versus like you're not out driving all night trying, you know, like energy, like, I got to get more pussy kind of thing. It's just like there's a sense of wholeness. Speak more about that sense of peace. What is that about?
Well, I know that for me, that's what it was. It was just like, wow, I don't need you anymore. And I want to meet you. I want to know you. And it becomes something, it went from like, what can I get with you, to what can we co-create together? Like, who is this other human being? And in some cases, we are asking, what's this sense of peace? Yeah, it's just the peace that comes when you don't need anymore, when there's less attachment. Mm-hmm. It's very Buddhist in that regard. It's just like, you stop suffering if you stop having attachments. But I mean, I got more pussy than I did beforehand. So I don't know.
That so much for that rumor.
Yeah. Well, for the other guys, I mean, a lot of times they'll just take a break. Like, I took months off when I realized where I was running these things. But ultimately, their quote unquote game is stronger because there's less game there.
Mm-hmm. So they get this insight, essentially, like you did.
Yeah.
And then there's a period of like, huh, what am I going to do with this? Now, is this like kind of just a weekend thing and then you're changed, or what happens after that?
Well, it's kind of like their identity gets completely fucked with. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like
they're signing up by the droves now.
Yeah, yeah. Not like we're fucking with it, but it gets challenged. The belief systems that they had in place about who they were and what was going on, like how the world is, got fundamentally going like, oh yeah, huh? Well, what do you make of this? And at that point, they're like, well, who I am? Who am I if I'm not this guy? If I'm not seeking anymore, then who am I? Mm-hmm. What is this? And it's in some ways that wholeness takes some integrating to be like, oh, okay, well, what do I really want then? If I'm not trying to feel like hungrily feel this, I need to feel that. I need to get all that validation. If I'm not getting that, then who am I? And so I think that just takes a little bit of time to integrate. But I haven't heard any guys go like, yeah, I'm still, you know, I'm worse off than I was.
Join us next week as we continue our talk with Brian Baer of the Authentic Man Program. We'll hear more about how to transform our interactions with women.